Bible reading, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Well, just a couple of months ago here in Australia, we had something that doesn't happen all that often, and that is that our king visited. Many gathered to meet him from near and from far. In one case, a woman travelled all the way to Canberra from rural Queensland to meet him. There was for many a sense of excitement and joy in the air. Now, as we know, that wasn't true for all. Some were strongly against the king and made that known. And no doubt there were maybe even you that felt fairly indifferent to it all. The king was in town, and you've got to say that's a significant moment, isn't it? Now, it's Christmas Day and we are celebrating, aren't we? And perhaps you'll have prawns or pork and salads later on today. It's a time of joy, and we find joy in so much today, don't we? The presents, the food, the fun, all of which is great. But the first song that we sang this morning talks of an even greater reason for joy. We sang there that classic hymn, "Joy to the World," and it goes like this. It says, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her King." See, the song's saying that 2,000 years ago when Jesus came, here's what was happening. The king was in town. And it's saying that that was reason for joy. And there's record of that joy here. We're told in verse 10 that the wise men were overjoyed. They received this king with gladness. But actually also there's record of those who are opposed to Jesus and even others who were indifferent to him. Now, as we think today of receiving a king, just to say, you can understand that the response of some isn't always so warm. We're all aware that power can be abused, that power so often has been abused, and that a kingly title is no guarantee of character. But what we have with the arrival of the king in Bethlehem, this king, it absolutely is reason for joy, and there is every reason to receive this king. And so if you have a look on your sheet there, we have that section there from one of the historical biographies of Jesus. It's written by Matthew, one of the eyewitnesses of the time. It's looking at Matthew chapter 2, and there Jesus is born, and in verses 1 and 2, we understand immediately that there is something special about his arrival, because we're told that magi come from the east, and they're asking, where is the one that has been born King of the Jews? Now, the Magi, they're wise men from Persia or perhaps Babylon. They've traveled maybe 1,500 kilometres to get to Jerusalem. In other words, they've come, you know, all the way from Victoria up to Brisbane, not on a flight, not in their car, but just with a camel or two. They've come a long way, and it's because they want to welcome this child as king. In fact, even to worship him. Okay, today we're going to give gifts to each other to show love. And maybe you've already done some gift giving this morning. And, you know, whether that's a book or a shirt, or if you're going all out, even a, you know, an iPhone or a bike. It's our way of showing love, isn't it? But when these guys find the baby Jesus and give gifts, there's even more going on than that, because these gifts are lavish. Gold, it was thought of as the metal of the kings. You gave it to kings. A bottle of myrrh, it was worth many thousands of dollars. And so I'm betting you didn't receive stockings this morning that were worth tens of thousands of dollars. These are lavish gifts acknowledging a king. And the gifts of worship, verse 11, look at that. They saw the child with his mother Mary and bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense and mercy. This is extraordinary honour. And it's all kind of weird when you think of it. I mean, these guys are not Jews like Jesus, but it's as if they understand that this child has global significance. It's as if even they've read that section there from Isaiah that we were talking about earlier, where the prophet had said that a child was going to be born whose greatness would know no end and who would reign forever. And so these wise men from a far, far away place fall before this king of the Jews and they worship him. It's amazing. And as I say, that might seem thrilling, or perhaps even it makes sense if you feel a bit hesitant about this. I mean, we so often have seen the corruption of power, have we not? You probably have seen it in your workplace. Maybe you've seen it in schools or in social circles. Sadly, perhaps even in families. Power so often corrupts. But what we see in Jesus is one who used power not to protect himself, not to elevate himself, but actually to serve others. You know that phrase, King of the Jews, in our passage in verse 2, it's used again later on in this very biography, and it's when Jesus is put to death. The soldiers, we're told, twisted a crown of thorns together and set it on his head, and they kneel in front of him and they mock him. Hail, King of the Jews, they say, and the sign is actually put above his head on the cross, the King of the Jews. And it's this irony that the one who at the beginning is worshipped as king, that he actually ends up on a cross. And we know he goes there to die for us. We know he goes there to bear what we deserve for our sin. See, Jesus did not come to abuse his power, but to use it, to serve, to give his life for others. See, at Christmas, we're reminded that we have a king, Jesus, and he is one that rules for our good. It's like when you go to the beach over this summer period and there's lifeguards there. And I mean, those lifeguards, they have authority on the beach, don't they? They'll tell you where to swim and so on. But actually, they're there for our good, using their authority to serve and to save. And so it is with Jesus. And so there's every reason to welcome this king, isn't there? To honour him for who he is, to acknowledge that we need his rule. And so, as that great hymn that we sang earlier says, the appropriate response is to receive him. Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her king. And I just want to say that actually, that's a word that we need to hear, that we need to receive this king, because there's always been different responses to Jesus. And even the Bible itself acknowledges that. Okay, think of what we've read this morning. Notice the three responses here to Jesus. Firstly, you have the response of Herod. Herod opposes Jesus. He's the king of Jerusalem. And when he hears of Jesus' birth in verse 3, he's disturbed and he tries to find out from the religious leaders where Jesus is. And we discover later it's so that he can kill him. And it's because he feels threatened. He doesn't want Jesus as a king. He doesn't understand that Jesus' rule isn't political. And more importantly, he doesn't actually understand that Jesus' rule is good. And so he's threatened by Jesus. And it's so easy for us to feel that way, isn't it? If we don't believe that Jesus' rule is good, we will feel threatened at the thought of giving up the rule of our lives to him. By nature, we want to live for self, not for him. We want to decide our own ethics, to how we navigate relationships or possessions or status or whatever it might be. We want to work all that out our way. Without the rule of our king, we feel threatened by Jesus. And it's because we forget the goodness of his rule. So we oppose him. And that was the response of Herod. But then also you've got the response of the religious leaders. They were indifferent. Look at verses 4 through to 6. Okay, the religious leaders are the ones that Herod goes to find out, according to the prophet, where the child was going to be born. And they know it just like that. In verse 6, they quote the famous prophecy, the promised ruler is going to come from Bethlehem. So they know all about it and they help Herod out. But what's just startling, what's amazing here is that they themselves just showed no interest in checking this whole thing out for themselves. I mean, okay, think about it. Magi from far away, another country, have traveled 1,500 kilometres to meet this king, but the religious leaders there of his own nation in Jerusalem don't even travel 10 kilometres south to Bethlehem to check him out. They're indifferent. For the religious leaders, life just went on as usual. And you can imagine how offensive that must have been to God. I remember once visiting my brother Tim and his family, who at the time were living overseas in Vanuatu. And I was young and free. And so I just, you know, hopped on a flight and headed over there and surprised them. And there I was. They didn't even know that I was coming. But, you know, they paused and they were so kind and they welcomed me and they showed me the sights. And it was just this amazing time. But here what we have is, of all people, God the King himself in town. And actually there'd been announcements along the way of his coming. And the religious leaders, who of all should have identified him, they continue on with life as usual. You know, the Bible teaches that God in Jesus has visited us, that he's actually punched a hole through heaven, and that he's come down and he's made a way for us to return to him. And so if we really believe that message, it's just not possible to respond with indifference. Life cannot go on as usual. We need to receive and respond to the King who has come to us. And this is what the third group, the Magi, realized. Okay, the wise men we see in verse 10 were overjoyed when they realized the King had come. They went all in. They searched for him. They found him. They honored him as their King. And what an appropriate response that was. You know, that God would come to us. I mean, that he would actually step into history itself and show himself to us. That's actually just, that's a unique claim among the world of religions. Surely if you even if you're skeptical, it's absolutely a claim that's worth searching out. And again, just to say that, this idea that God as King would wield his power by dying for us, that he came not to be served, but to serve, to make a way for us to go back to him. That too, it's just absolutely a unique claim among the faiths. And surely it's worth searching out, because if it's true that God in Jesus comes down to make a way for us back to God, if that's true, we cannot continue with life as usual. The wise men here, they were not indifferent. They searched. And so could I say, I mean, that we do have some books at the Connect desk that may be helpful for you if you're wanting to search out Jesus. Take whatever's useful to you. As we said earlier, actually, I mean, those Christmas books have been popular over this season. There's one there on your sheet that has already run out. But I just want to say, you know, if there's anything there that's on this program that's not there, use the QR code on the back of this. Give us your details, and we'd love to actually send you out that book. We'd love for you to have that chance to really search into Jesus. And just to say, I mean, the wise men here, they understood the significance of this moment, didn't they? They didn't know anything like what the religious leaders of the time knew, but they realized that something special had happened, and they searched for Jesus, and with joy they found him and they honored him as the King. And that's what we're here to do this morning. This morning we sing with joy because the Lord has come. And the appropriate response for us is to receive our King. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you as King have punched a hole through heaven, that you've come down to us, that we might have a way back to you. And so may we search for you. Keep us from indifference, we pray. Keep us from opposition. And may we know the wisdom and the goodness and the joy of life with Jesus as our King. We pray this in his name. Amen.